Well, we're going to be in Colossians chapter 1, so you could turn there as we'll spend our time there. I just wanted to remind you, if you're a guest here today, this is an unusual Sunday, not only because I'm in the pulpit, but our senior pastor isn't preaching because of my last sermon here. So we would invite you to come back when our pastor is in the pulpit, and please enjoy his preaching and when things are back to normal. So I invite you to come back. Just for your information, December 13th is my last day in the office. December 14th, we have airplane tickets to go to Austin. So we should be there by 5 o'clock on the 14th, Lord willing, and begin our new life. So some of you have asked and didn't know the itinerary, so I thought I'd just let that be known to everybody. As I thought about my last sermon for E-Free, I thought, well, I went through a lot of scenarios. I kind of wrestled with it for a little bit, but then I thought, well, how about a last prayer for E-Free? And that's where this comes in Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14. I think it is a marvelous prayer that Paul places within this portion of the Word of God that I hope you and I can learn from, and you and I can grow from, and you and I can benefit from as we look at these three different areas that we're going to point out in this Colossians passage. As you see in your outline for your bulletin, we're going to talk about growth. That's going to be our first point of prayer. And then also the results because of that growth. And then things to be thankful for. And I think if we put all these within context, I think each one of us could be blessed from what Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 14 teach us today. And so this is my prayer for E-Free Church. It's for every one of you as I leave here, and this is what I would like for E-Free Church. So first of all, let's just read this portion of the Word of God, Colossians 1, 9 through 14. I'll read it, you follow along. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. So Paul begins saying, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it. And so I want to say the reason why Paul is saying this is what is in verses 4 and 5. What did Paul hear? What did Paul know about the Colossian believers that he said, since the day we heard of it? And if you follow in verses 4 and 5, we see what that is. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, because of the hope laid up for you in heaven, of which you previously heard in the word of truth, the gospel. So the thing that Paul is praying for here and for the Colossian believers is not that they're in trouble or not that they're having any great problems. They are doing pretty good. And they are living in the truths of Jesus Christ. And so this prayer is a prayer that he is praying for these folks who are good, but he wants them to be better. And so it is that I see E-Free Church. I'm not saying E-Free Church is in big trouble or having great problems, and you're doing good, but I want you to be better. I want you to grow more. I want you to understand these things with greater understanding. Matthew Poole says that they might attain a more distinct, clear, practical knowledge of the mind of God in Christ, and a greater measure of conformity to what he requires in the gospel. And so these are the things that we begin with as we look at verse 9, is we say, E-Free Church, you're not in trouble. You're growing. Things are good here. People are coming to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're living by the gospel. But I want you to grow better. I want you to grow more. I want you to know God more intimately than you do today. And so this is what he says as we begin in verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled. Now this is what Paul is saying, that you may be filled with what? With the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. He wants them to grow. He wants them to grow in their relationship with the God of the universe. And so it is that is my prayer. I want you to grow and become more intelligent and to have more of the mind of Christ each and every day of your life. As the Bible says, we should bring every thought to the captivity of Christ. And there's three specific ways that he wants them to grow. Three specific ways that he wants them to grow in their intimate relationship with the God of the universe. And by the way, did you notice he says, and be filled? This is the same word that be filled with the Holy Spirit, and that means to be controlled by it. That means that this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that we receive or that we grow in needs to change us so that it controls us, so that we no longer think human thoughts, we no longer think human wisdom, but we think spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding, so that as we move forward in life, we don't think about human wisdom, but we say, what does God say about this issue? What does God say about this problem? What does God say about this situation that I find myself in? He's filled, you should be, desired to be filled with his will. Now, there's an interesting point. If you notice in verse 9 as well as verse 10, the word knowledge is used. Paul purposely uses that word because there was a system of thought in the Colossian time frame and in the Colossian believers that was called Gnosticism, which is a group of people that believed they had a higher knowledge, a more intimate knowledge. It was all based on human wisdom. It was all based on philosophy. It wasn't based on biblical truth. And so Paul is using these words, knowledge specifically, to be able to combat or to be able to say, hey, wait a minute now, this system of thoughts that's going around in our world today is a system of thought that's wrong, and so I'll use the same word that the Gnostics would use for knowledge, but I want you to, these are diametrically opposed to the knowledge and wisdom of the Gnostics, which are based on Philo, Plato, in Persia and India, and philosophies that came from all these different areas in life, and saying, now wait a minute, I don't want you to believe the philosophy of men, I want you to believe the philosophy of the Word of God. And so he's purposely saying, listen, I want you to increase in knowledge and wisdom and understanding, but not like the world is teaching you. I want you to grow in biblical truth, biblical knowledge, biblical wisdom, biblical understanding. John Piper said, I know no other way to triumph over the sin long term than to gain a distaste for it because of a superior satisfaction with God. We will see ourselves in living color the more we get to know the Word of God. The more we know the Word of God, the more we see ourselves as we move forward in life. We need to permeate our thoughts, our purposes, our affections, our feelings, our plans with the truth of the Word of God. The knowledge that comes should be an intimate knowledge that so much penetrates within your life and my life that it transforms us on the inside. It's something like an infection, but the infection, instead of being negative, is positive. We become so infected with the truth of the Word of God, the knowledge of the Word of God, the wisdom of the Word of God, the understanding of the Word of God, that it changes us totally. That our thought process is different. Our goals are different. The way we live life is different. Every area of life, of conduct, is permeated by the truth and the knowledge and the wisdom of God. This knowledge is a deep, accurate knowledge that as it permeates your character, so it will change your conduct so that your whole life will be transformed. Listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 12 through 16 tell us. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. Which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. He cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Spiritual knowledge, spiritual wisdom, spiritual understanding comes from the Spirit of God. That's why the word there is spiritual. It means it's taught to us from some other realm other than human wisdom. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of human wisdom that's infecting the Church of Jesus Christ. It's on TV, it's on radio, it's in books. And I think we have to be very careful by evaluating each and everything on the truth of Scripture. All spiritual wisdom. When he talks about wisdom, the knowledge that you are receiving from God and that you are learning from God needs to be transferred into wisdom, which is the right use of that knowledge. So as we have the knowledge of God, now we have the wisdom of God, which is now the right use of that knowledge as it functions within our daily life. And then we have understanding, which speaks of a clear analysis and decision-making in applying the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God, to the problems of everyday life. It's a dynamic thing that once we know it, we should be doing it. Our greatest problem, I think, is that we don't know it. And so therefore, we don't do it. And so therefore, sometimes, even as Christians, our life falls apart. We get ourselves into all kinds of trouble. We find ourselves looking for answers in all the wrong places, other than trying to gain the knowledge, the wisdom, and understanding of God. This thorough, perfect knowledge of God's will should be in a sphere of all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Again, Paul uses these words of knowledge to combat that of which was negative for the Colossian believers. If we really know the Bible study that we do should lead us to that better and more significant knowledge of God and His will. And then when our thinking becomes right, because we have biblical knowledge, then when our thinking is right, it will result in doing what is right. So therefore, our behavior will be transformed by the knowledge to which we have. And then as our behavior becomes right, it will result in a godly character, where as we walk in the world, people will be able to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the way you and I live. If the principles of God's word are applied to all of life, then I guarantee you we can live life to the fullest. It's when we don't live by the principles of the word of God. It's when we don't seek his wisdom. It's when we don't try to understand what God has told us, how he has instructed us, how he has told us how to live and what to do and how to think, that we get ourselves into trouble. If the principles of God's word, God measures the wisdom and understanding by our practical everyday obedience. Job 28:28 says this, "And to man he said, behold, the fear or awe of God, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding." My prayer for E3 Church is that we would have a greater awe of God each and every day, so that then again, we will depart from evil because we understand how that hurts God, how that ruins our relationship with him, how that just diminishes the relationship, the intimate relationship that we should have with God. So my first point of prayer is that E3 Church will grow in the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God more intimately each and every day, so that it affects your heart and life, so that you are transformed by it, so that you become different than the world of which we live. But you know, as we grow in this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, there should be results. And that's what verse 10 begins to tell us. Do you notice at the beginning of verse 10, it says, so that you. So what we're talking about are results. We're talking about something should happen as we grow in the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of God. And these are the results that should take place as we move forward. We just don't gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to get fat spiritually, but it should begin to function in our life so that there is real results, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Right thinking leads to right living. And growing in the knowledge and wisdom and understanding has results so that you will walk worthy of the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting? So that you will walk worthy of the Lord. It's not walk worthy for your boss. It's not walk worthy for the church. It's not walk worthy for your husband or your wife. It's not walking worthy of anybody but the Lord. But do you realize the transformation that would be if my life and your life was ordered by the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God, that when we walk worthy of the Lord, and that is our goal, and that is our aspiration, and that is our desire, that don't you know you'll be more pleasing to your boss, you'll be more pleasing to your husband, you'll be more pleasing to your wife, you'll raise your kids better, everything will be better because you have a standard of which is above the normal standard, because my goal is to walk in a manner worthy to the Lord and not unto men. The truth is, there's a lot of us, if we really evaluate ourselves, that sometimes we're man pleasers. We want to do things to please people. We want to say things that'll make or give us friends or will build relationships. And many times the Lord gets put on the back burner. But here Paul says, listen, I want you to gain knowledge, wisdom, and understanding for the purpose of walking worthy with the Lord. Your behavior as holy people of God should match what God wants for you. I love the terminology walk. walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to order one's behavior just like you're walking. I use that illustration quite often. If I wanted to walk home, I put one foot in front of the other and I begin walking, and eventually I will get to home. But it's the consistency of that consistent walking that's going to get me home. If I don't do it consistently, I will not arrive in time, or I won't arrive when I think I should. But the consistency, that's why I think it's such a wonderful word within the Bible, is because it says, listen, we're not out for a marathon. We're not out to do. We want consistency each and every day of our life. And as we walk worthy and order our behavior or conduct oneself that's worthy of the Lord, now our knowledge matches our conduct, and they are bound together tightly, and we will be pleasing to the Lord. Listen to what James 4:17 says. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, to him it is sin. I think that's one of the greatest problems of delving into the Word of God, is because when the Word of God speaks to you, you should be obedient to do it. And many times we don't do what we know the Word of God tells us to do. And therefore, to him it is sin. But notice also it says that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Worthy of the Lord means of like value or worth just as much. The saints are to see to it that their manner of life, their conduct, weighs as much as to the character of God. Wow, isn't that? You know, I don't like those verses in the Bible that says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church, because now I have to compare myself to Christ, you know. I don't like that idea, but this idea of worthy means that my life should reflect the worthiness and the character of the Lord. That's the way I should live. He's the example. 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. We have to follow the lead of the Lord. We have to become like him. We have to reflect him within our life. He's the one who sets the standard for our living. He's the one who gives us the guidance and direction that we need for life and godliness. The Lord sets the example. This wisdom and this understanding and this knowledge must transform in continuing practicing what we're learning. Kenneth Weiss says this, doctrines and ethics, or thinking and behavior, are for Paul inseparable. Right conduct must be founded on right thinking, but right thinking must also lead to right conduct. The words unto all pleasing, it means with a view of pleasing him in every way, so that whatever God's wish is for me, I will do it. Please him in all respects, meeting every one of his wishes for me. Of delving into the Word of God and finding out what God is telling me, what he is teaching me, how he is telling me to live my life. And so as I gain that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, now it's going to transform the way I live. And I want to satisfy him. I want to satisfy his heart. I want to be pleasing to him in all respects. But not only that is part of the result, but then it goes on and it says, bearing fruit in every good work. Did you know that every Christian should be bearing fruit? Did you know that every person who claims to know Jesus Christ as their Savior should be like a tree that has fruit hanging off that people can see and people can verify? Someone has wisely said, we never judge people, but we become fruit inspectors, and we just look at their life to see what kind of fruit is manifested by the tree to which they are. We know the scriptures tell us that the vine needs to be planted, and we are part of the vine, and the vine gives the strength or the nutrition to the branches, but yet the branches are the thing that bear fruit. And so when the Bible says bearing fruit in every good work, we know, of course, and we're going to learn in the next week, I believe, that the fruit of the Spirit is borne out in Galatians chapter 2, or 5, 22 through 23. This is the fruit of your life. It's fruit of the Spirit. It's one fruit with many facets. Love, joy, peace, gentleness. We'll look at that next week. But that's some of the fruit. But also there's other fruit as you go through life with your behavior and your conduct, which is transformed by the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God. There's other fruit to be born because people are going to want to know, why are you the way you are? And then you have the privilege to say, I know Jesus as my Savior from sin. And because of knowing the intimate relationship I have with my Savior, that's why I have the fruit that you see. It's because of what he's done for me. It's not what I've done for him. It's what he has done for me. And so my life is a reflection of what God is teaching me. And that's why I am the way I am. It's because of him. John 15, 16 says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. One of the activities of the saint, as Wiest says, is the sphere of behavior which is worthy of the Lord. This is called fruit bearing. And fruit bearing should be increasing, and it's increasing because of the fact that our knowledge of God is increasing. And because of the knowledge of God, so then our life produces fruit because of that knowledge. It's a direct result, or should be. Bearing fruit and increasing by means of a thorough and perfect knowledge of God. Can you see why I would desire this for all of us? But as this is my prayer for E-Free Church, it's not that you're doing anything bad, but I want it to become more vibrant. I want it to become more real. I want this knowledge, wisdom, and understanding to transform our lives so that the results are greater, so that the fruit bearing becomes more evident. Paul prayed this fruit-bearing would be consistent and an ongoing reality, increasing in the knowledge of God. That is the wonder of the Christian life. And the question we can ask ourselves is, am I increasing in the knowledge of God? Do you know God better today than you knew God a year ago? Have you grown in the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God? And is your character, your fruit-bearing, and your life that you're living a reflection of that knowledge, wisdom, and understanding that you have from God? Are you the same? Are you stagnant within your Christian life? Are you not progressing? Are you not getting to know God? John Phillips said this, getting to know God is the highest, holiest, and happiest occupation in the universe. It is the very stuff of which eternity is made. A Christian should not be static, but alive and growing in the knowledge of God each and every day. It's kind of an upward spiral instead of a downward spiral. The more we gain, the more we know, the more we love, the more we serve, the more we, and it becomes larger as we live our life for the honor and glory of God. The more truly we serve Him, the more we open up to His knowledge, and the more we open up to His knowledge, the more we know of Him, and the more we know of Him, the more we want to serve Him. And so it is that we get excited about the things of God. Sure is a shame when we come to church on a Sunday morning and do our duty, but go out and live the same way we always did. Oh, Pastor had a great message. How did it transform you? How did it change you? What did you learn new about God? How did it change your life? How does it change my life? But then in verse 11, we have continued results. We not only talk about those things from verse 10, but look at what verse 11 says. Strengthened with all power. Strengthened with all power. To be strengthened is to be furnished by the grace of God for every good work and fortified by the grace against every evil work. It is to be enabled to do our duty and still hold fast to our integrity. Matthew Henry. This is strengthened with all power, but do you know whose power it is? According to His glorious might. Can you believe that? Do you ever realize or do you ever magnify within your life that the strength and the power to live this kind of life is given to you because it's according to His glorious power? It's not up to you. It's not up to you to live that way. It's up to you to be submissive to Him so that He can live through you and me. This prayer, by the way, is not only for you, it's also for me. Ephesians 3:16 says that He would grant you, according to His riches in glory, to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in the inner man. We have the power of God strengthened with all power according to His glorious might. We have the power of God at our disposal to live the way He wants us to live. Why is it that we don't? Why is it that we live mediocre lives? The Bible says in Romans 8:31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who is against us?" This is the kind of power we have. The kind of power that God spoke the world into existence and all the planets and everything. That's the power we're talking about. This is the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. It's the power that makes people who are blind to see. It's the power to take little loaves and fishes and make them so big that we have leftovers more than we had at the beginning. It's a power that takes the Red Sea and makes it on dry land so that His people can go through. This is the kind of power that we have. And isn't it a shame that we live like we have no power? Isn't it a shame that we live as if we are defeated when we have the God of the universe at our disposal, His power by the Spirit of God and the truths of the Word of God to be able to have victory in life, wherever that may be? Strengthened with all power, verse 11, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience. Oh boy. The Word of God is the means of this power by which it conveys it. It can be fetched by Bible study and by prayer, and we ask God to help us. But then when it talks about attaining of all steadfastness, that particular phrase has to do with the difficult circumstances we go through in life. That's where that is applied to the best. It says, attaining to all steadfastness, and we need to remind ourselves that as the difficult circumstances of life, which we all go through them at times, don't we? But where do we go to find the answers? We go to the Word of God. We rely on the knowledge of God. We rely on the wisdom of God. We rely on the understanding of God. And so that helps us get through difficult circumstances. But then when it talks about patience, and that's a killer word, isn't it? But that patience, now buckle up for this one, because this one is what we really need. It's talking about difficult people. Remember, attaining to all steadfastness had a focus on our circumstances, but now patience has to do with difficult people. Do you have any difficult people within your life? How are you handling it? It says that the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God and the understanding of God can help us not only with our difficult circumstances, but also with difficult people. And so it is that these results come because of the fact that the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding of God is permeating our life. I think that's a good prayer to have. And then we have a word, joyously. Okay. This is going to change here because we're going to go into gratitude. We're going to go into gratitude for life because this joyously, which is part of the Spirit of God, by the way, but part of the fruit of the Spirit. And so when this person goes through life, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter how difficult the people are, no matter where they find themselves in life, this person who is filled with the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God can have a joyful outlook in the midst of whatever they're going through. The Christian should be filled with joy that he is able to meet the trials of life through the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding of God, having the results that we've seen within our life, and therefore we will be thankful for five different things. Joyously giving thanks. You see how we just changed now? We just changed the idea. We're done with results, and we're going into being thankful. Joyously giving thanks to the Father, okay? Now, once again, our prayer is to the Father. It's what He has done. It's that He is in control. It's that He is strong. It's that He is the one that we should rely on. Giving thanks to the Father. Here's another verse that I don't like. I'm sorry to admit that I don't like certain Bible verses. I hope you'll understand that. But here it says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, buckle up here, in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And the Dave Cass question is, does everything mean everything? See, this is where we get ourselves into trouble, isn't it? Well, God really can't mean everything. Look at what I'm going through. Look at the difficulty I have. Look at the troubles I have. Look at the trials I have. Look at the health I have. He can't mean everything. I go to this verse all the time. You know, one of the questions that's asked a lot of times of a pastor is, what is the will of God for my life? Do you know what this says? It says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. So I look at him and I go, okay, let me ask a question. Have you ever been thankful for this? And they're like shock, you know? No, why would I thank God for this? Well, let's spend some time in thankfulness and start looking at our trials or difficulties or situations from a point of thankfulness instead of a point of rebellion. Giving thanks to the Father. Folks, He loves us. He cares for us. He died on the cross for us. He gave us the Spirit of God. He gave us the Word of God. What more do we need? Let's start using those things and benefiting from those things. But now here's the first point of gratitude. Why should we be thankful? Why should we give thanks to the Father? Because number one, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Oh God, thank you, because the only reason why I am going to share in the inheritance of the saints of life is because you, God, dealt with my fallen condition and took care of my greatest problem. And I will be thankful for that because of the fact that you qualified me. It's not something I've done. It's not due to anything that I've done for him. It has nothing to do with me except that he chose to love me. And he qualified me to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Do you know something? We not only are looking forward to being in heaven, we will be the saints of light in heaven, but we have that now. We are in the realm of light. Once we've known Jesus as our Savior, once we have asked him to be our Savior, we know him, and therefore we have the inheritance already. So therefore we should be thankful. He has prepared us for heaven, eternal happiness. The standing of a believer in Christ is here in view, not his Christian character. The Father qualified believers to partake of the inheritance of the saints by placing them in Christ, in whom they enjoy the standing which makes them the object of God's grace. Kenneth Wiest. A lot of the saints, namely that which is determined upon the saints, always think about future blessedness. But folks, we have blessedness now. Number two, who has taken us from the dominion of darkness. He rescued us from the dominion of darkness. He actually took us away from this tyrannical rule of Satan so that we could live for his honor and his glory. That's a good thing to be thankful for. 1 John 1:6 says this, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. Number three, he also transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Isn't that something? He's done it all. We should live a life that is pleasing to him because of the fact that we are so thankful for what he has done for us. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 14, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. The fourth one is that we have redemption. This is the fact that we have been released from bondage and imprisonment. The payment has been paid by Jesus Christ on the cross. And we have redemption. We are redeemed. And also, it talks about number five, the forgiveness of sin. Isn't that great? We have already the forgiveness of sin. A church that is growing in the knowledge of Christ and his will and is walking worthy of him will do great things. And this is why this is my prayer for Ephraim Church. Is because I want you to grow in the knowledge and wisdom and understanding of God so that you will please him, live for him, and grow in him, so that you will have gratitude for all the things that he has done for you. He's qualified us, he's given us an inheritance, he's rescued us, he's transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, and we have been redeemed and we have been forgiven. And God's people said, amen. And so does our life reflect that? That's where we can begin to get better, Ephraim Church, is making our life reflect the glory of God more tomorrow than it does today. As it says in Ephesians 5:8, for you were formerly in darkness, But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. That's my prayer for Ephree Church. I hope it'll be your prayer as you open Colossians chapter 1, 9 through 14, and ask the Lord to touch your heart as you continue to meditate and pray upon this portion of the Word of God. Let me pray. Father, we're thankful for your Word. We just never stop being amazed at how marvelous your Word instructs us, how clear it instructs us. And now, Father, we just pray that you'd touch our hearts. May each one of us grasp at least one point of this message. Whether it's talking about the way we need to grow, or the results because of that growth, or the gratitude that we need to have for what you've done with us. Will you embed one truth into each and every heart so that we can leave here different than we came in? And Father, may this prayer be looked at in each one of our devotional times this week, to be able to pray through this prayer and to ask you to do great and marvelous things that only you can do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.